agree or disagree.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Marina Joshi. Today with my guest, I'm discussing the biometrics technology and whether it can give us the security that we need. We're also talking about pros and cons and the benefits, and of course, the downsides of biometrics. With me today, I have Max Snyder, who's Managing Director of European Biometrics Group, and Luke Jones, who's a partner at Antal, Russia's leading recruitment company. But Luke, I'd like to turn to you now and ask you, how many companies actually use biometrics here? How many employers use biometric information in offices? For example, I know that some companies use, instead of passwords, you can use, say, for example, touch tone technology in order to, for example, start working on a computer. You no longer need to enter your password. You just touch a special button or, you know, like a piece of metal, whatever it is, and then your fingerprints automatically go somewhere to the system. It recognizes you and lets you in. What happens in Russia? What's the attitude towards biometrics and the use of biometrics in offices by employers?
I mean, obviously, it depends on who you talk to, Marina, because, you know, if you're in downtown Moscow in a grade A office, then it's going to be considerably different than, you know, somebody who still uses, you know, doesn't even use an Excel sheet, you know, still writes things down in a book.
Yeah.
And there's still a lot of companies who do that. Now, surprising, it isn't actually all that many people have, you know, let's say actual biometrics. Most people still will have a basic password, or occasionally they'll just have like a sort of a button that you zap. Now, there's nothing, you know, you can give that to your colleague. But as I said, you know, there is unfortunately no 100% foolproof way. And I think the danger generally is when you allow 100%, you know, the computer system to make every decision. I think you've got to allow for some human interaction where there are, you know, where things can go wrong. An example of that was when people in the United States found themselves on a, you know, a terrorist wanted list simply because they had a name that either was the same or sounded similar to somebody else who actually was wanted. And it's the same thing with credit agencies. You can find yourself in serious trouble and not able to get credit simply because you lived in a house where somebody previously lived and had a bad rating and that passed on to you. Or again, you had a similar name. So there has to be human interaction to be able to account for things like this. And finally, the technology is moving so fast that nobody really quite knows where it's going, and we're struggling to keep up. I think the danger is that we can actually get ahead of ourselves on this.
See, that's the problem, because usually this is something that happens with the unknown. You know, as I said earlier, we're opening up a Pandora's box here, and then, you know, when you let the genie out of the bottle, it may be hard to get it back in. Max, do we need to use biometrics technology this much? I mean, or can we still hold on to the system, the security system that we have?
That is a question which is, similarly, you can say, do we need the smartphone? If you say, I'm using the phone only for calling, then it answers no.
Mm-hmm.
But the smartphone is enabling a lot of other kind of functionalities. The same is with biometrics. Do we need biometrics? In certain cases, yes. For example, in law enforcement and surveillance, you need biometrics because there's no other way to establish identity than through biometrics. We do this already for ages. Do we need biometrics for authentication? It can be, if you would like to have convenient, strong authentication through smart devices, then biometrics is the only way to make sure that the right person is using this token. And in that sense, biometrics will be used and is starting to be used for authentication purposes.
But are we going to be...
Suddenly, yeah. It's an enabler of new kind of applications.
Are we going to be less vulnerable with biometrics technology?
Well, depends how you use it. It has to be used just like nuclear technology. You can use nuclear technology to make bombs and make war, or to make energy. Technology is neutral. You just have to use it properly.
One of the reasons why a lot of companies switch to biometrics technology is that they're hoping that it will give them some added security. You know, I gave an example of the bank system being breached, which is a very strong message that the hackers send to the financial community, to the bank community. They're saying that, look, we can't get access to anything there. No system is a secure system there. And banks spend a huge amount of money on their security. And the question here is, with biometrics technology introduced, are financial systems or healthcare systems, any institution that stores information on us, will they be secure? Will our data be secure? And also another question is the issue of identity theft. I mean, it's a big problem in the West, I know, in the States, in Britain. Russia, maybe less so. Luke, do you agree or disagree? I mean, it's still getting here. There are stories we hear in the media, but not that often.
Not as much. And I mean, just coming back to the previous point, Marina, I mean, in the end, yeah, these, you know, nothing is 100% secure. And in the same way that, you know, the banks are trying to stay one step ahead with, you know, the amount of money they spend on security, you know, 50 years ago when these things didn't exist, they didn't spend any money on it. But in those days, people weren't trying to steal identities. They were trying to steal cash out of the bank safe. And even some of the most secure banks in the world with the most high tech at the time safes, you know, were occasionally burgled, you know, and usually, again, it was an inside job with inside information. And when you've got something like that, whether it's, you know, biometrics or whether it's, you know, 50 years ago, just in an ordinary, at the time, high-tech safe, it's not 100% secure again because you've got the human factor on this. And no matter how much you allow for it, unfortunately, yeah, it's never going to be 100% secure. But over here in Russia, you know, you still do need to show a lot more identification for basic things. Now, I would say that comes down more to a cultural habit that in Britain, we don't really have any kind of internal ID. It's becoming more prevalent now, but the whole system was, you know, why do you need to prove who you are? I'm honest. You know, you should be, you know, it's innocent until proven guilty. Whereas, you know, Soviet paranoia over 70 years created the opposite system.
Yeah, but, you know, right now things are different everywhere. And, for example, in the West, things are different. In Britain, things are different because, you know, we're all vulnerable to terrorist attacks. And there are so many bad guys out there who can simply take advantage of our being naive and open. And, you know, this whole system of trust can be shattered and broken in a second, you know, by somebody who knows how to take advantage of all that.
Well, maybe I can jump in.
Yeah, jump in,
people
Max.
People taking advantage, you say. The problem is that we are so happy to give everything away about ourselves because we get things for free. That's the problem. Because we give all our information for free, everybody can access it because the internet is open, it's unprotected, it's unsecure.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes maybe deliberately kept insecure. Because we, people, are so happy to get all kinds of nice apps and stuff and things for free that we don't look at privacy statements, we don't look at what we are giving away when we are downloading a stupid app for your smartphone. And then you are not interested that you give away your phone book, you give away your agenda, your incoming caller IDs, your location. Everything is being given away and nobody cares.
Absolutely.
Exactly. I mean, I've heard of people's homes being burgled where they put a statement on Facebook, you know, I'm going off abroad on vacation for two weeks. And it's pretty simple. You know, you don't need to be an internet genius to work out where that person lives.
Yeah, you know, things like that and happen. And people are, well, I have to say, you're stupid enough to give away so much information, and the bad guys really don't have to make any effort to get access to it. That is absolutely true.
By the way, but just you say bad. Who are the bad guys? Governments, criminals, companies? I wouldn't know anymore. I'm totally lost.
No, nowadays, I mean, somebody joked once that, you know, the difference between tax evasion and tax avoidance is the thickness of a prison wall. But again, you know, just what Max was saying about that, people will happily volunteer huge amounts of private information on LinkedIn or, you know, on Facebook. You know, take LinkedIn, which as a recruiter I use, you know, many times a day. Now, previously, if you think about it, your CV, your resume was private information, and you would only send that on to a recruiter or directly to a potential employer. And now it's there for everybody to see. And the joke used to be, you know, if you went on, let's say, a guy's weekend to Vegas, it was what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Nowadays, it's what happens in Vegas stays on YouTube. So, you know, now you can shun technology, but, you know, and I have, you know, some buddies back home who will not use Facebook or anything like this. But if somebody else does, then you can still be on there without even knowing it.
Well, yes. I mean, in many ways, it is up to us, you know, how much information we choose to give away and how much information we should keep secret. You see, yeah, like everything has its pluses and minuses. The modern day technology, social networks like LinkedIn, which is a professional network where people exchange information about themselves. I mean, I don't think that your or my CV, for the matter, is something secret. It's something I'm proud of. And if there is an achievement, I'm, you know, happy to put it in my CV. But yeah, there is some information that is of personal character and which I know, for example, I don't like to share with people. But I was disappointed the other day when I realized that my photographs are visible to the people that I don't know on Facebook. So, you know, things sometimes happen without your control or without your knowing about them. So that's the problem. And
well, just, you know why?
Yeah.
Because people think that they can securely put their family photographs and the photographs of the social life, put them on Picasa or something like that. What they don't know, that they give away the rights on those documents. So the same with Google Drive. You get a nice free space. Everything is free.
Yeah.
But you give away. They become co-owner of your data.
But why are they interested in that?
That's another question.
So
you
why?
Did know mm-hmm. that other people were looking at it.
Yeah,
but you didn't want to know.
Yeah, Max, Luke, I mean, I'd like to get your thoughts here. I mean, who is interested? Okay, apart from, I don't know, you know, special services or who kind of like filter the information on the internet in search for terrorists or, you know, some remarks that can incite terrorism, whatever.
That's only part of it.
Mm-hmm.
The industry, its business in gathering and bringing together personal data to make social profiles and to make identity profiles, it's a multi-billion dollar industry because it's very valuable information if you not only know which telephone number has called, but also which physical person is behind it. If you know that, then that has a high value on this market. And that's not the black market, it's a normal business.
Yeah, but there's a lot of information we're talking about. We're not just talking about 5-10 people. There are millions of people in the world who use Google Drive. Yeah, but there's got to be like a group of people processing all that. So there's got to be a whole bunch of employees, you know, an army of employees doing all that.
That's the whole point.
Yes, they are
data.
There. Yeah, Google. Take Google, Facebook, take those companies. They have 10,000s of people all doing this kind of work.
Yeah.
And this information, I mean, obviously, individually is not that, you know, when you put it all together, it's all about targeted marketing. And companies now are looking for, you know, they've segmented the market very clearly. And they want to know, they want to make sure they're targeting the right people with the right products. And they're prepared to pay a lot of money for this information. It's extremely valuable. When you know that you've got 10,000 people who would be very interested in this product. I mean, it's the same at Antal, that if, for example, 98% of people in Russia have never heard of Antal, mm-hmm. I don't care because I'm targeting 2% of people in a very specific area. So if I'm sending out a salary survey, I want to make sure it goes to all the human resources managers in the main companies in Russia, not to anybody else. Now, this information, okay, we've collected it ourselves over a certain period of time, but, you know, on the one hand, it's fairly open information, but to get the right people, the right contacts, and when it all changes, that's information that, you know, is technically worth a lot of money.
The problem here is still, I mean, the question is still that is not fully really answered, as we don't know really, because, I mean, the technology that we have and the reality that we have is that to Gini, that's still, well, I don't know whether it's out of the bottle or not.
We don't know where it's going.
Yeah, we don't know. We don't know where it's going. But then, I mean, it's fun to use. It gives us a lot of advantages. But at the same time, there are drawbacks involved and strings attached to it.
I think the technology, the biometrics, is out of the bowl. And I also think that it's very good and very valuable that, for example, a program like yours is having discussions on it. Because we need awareness. We need people to listen to it and to build an opinion on themselves, on what's going on. We need debate and awareness. So in that sense, I really appreciate your interview.
Thank you very much, Max, for this. Well, on this positive...
I have to go now because I'm running out of time.
Sure, sure, absolutely. Well, on this positive note, I'd like to end the program as well. And as you rightly said, yes, we need awareness and we need a discussion. And people need to know pros and cons before they jump to any conclusion or before they buy any new piece of technology.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Max, for your time. Thank you so much, Luke, for your time. With me in the program today, I had Max Schneider, who's Managing Director of European Biometrics Group, and Luke Jones, who's a partner at Antal, Russia's leading recruitment company. Thank you both for being part of the show.